gave a public testimony to Christ's being his son and the promised Messiah, and also that, as his call to the apostleship was immediately from Christ, so it was after his resurrection from the dead and when he had entered upon his exalted state, so that he had reason to look upon himself not only as standing upon a level with the other apostles, but as in some sort preferred above them. For, whereas they were called by him when on earth, he had his call from him when in heaven. Thus does the apostle, being constrained to it by his adversaries, magnify his office, which shows that though men should by no means be proud of any authority they are possessed of, yet at certain times and upon certain occasions it may become needful to assert it. But he joins all the brethren that were with him in the inscription of the epistle, and writes in their name as well as his own. By the brethren that were with him may be understood either the Christians in common of that place where he now was, or such as were employed as ministers of the gospel. These, notwithstanding his own superior character and attainments, he is ready to own as his brethren, and, though he alone wrote the epistle, yet he joins them with himself in the inscription of it. Herein, as he shows his own great modesty and humility, and how remote he was from an assuming temper, so he might do this to dispose these churches to a greater regard to what he wrote, since hereby it would appear that he had their concurrence with him in the doctrine which he had preached, and was now about to confirm, and that it was no other than what was both published and professed by others as well as himself. To whom this epistle is sent? To the churches of Galatia. There were several churches at that time in this country, and it should seem that all of them were more or less corrupted through the arts of those seducers who had crept in among them. And therefore Paul, on whom came daily the care of all the churches, being deeply affected with their state, and concerned for their recovery to the faith and establishment in it, writes this epistle to them. He directs it to all of them, as being all more or less concerned in the matter of it, and he gives them the name of churches, though they had done enough to forfeit it. For corrupt churches are never allowed to be churches. No doubt there were some among them who still continued in the faith, and he was not without hope that others might be recovered to it. The Apostolical Benediction, verse 3. Herein the apostle and the brethren who were with him wish these churches grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the usual blessing wherewith he blesses the churches in the name of the Lord, grace and peace. Grace includes God's good will towards us and his good work upon us, and peace implies in it all that inward comfort or outward prosperity which is really needful for us, and they come from God the Father as the fountain, through Jesus Christ as the channel of conveyance. Both these the Apostle wishes for these Christians. But we may observe, first grace, and then peace, for there can be no true peace without grace. Having mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ, he cannot pass without enlarging upon his love, and therefore adds, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, as a great sacrifice to make atonement for us. This the justice of God required, and to this he freely submitted, for our sakes. One great end hereof was to deliver us from this present evil world, not only to redeem us from the wrath of God and the curse of the law, but also to recover us from the corruption that is in the world through lust, and to rescue us from the vicious practices and customs of it, unto which we are naturally enslaved, and possibly also to set us free from the Mosaic constitution, for so eon hautos is used. 1 Corinthians 2:6-8.